This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It is Sean Jackson once again, and I am joined by the, perfectly delightful Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
I am perfectly delightful. I am. Thank you, Sean. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, except for the fact that our executive producer, Robert Bruce, has just indicated to me that it's sweeps week, okay? Now, for those of you out there, you know what that means, don't you? It means we got to get ratings. So, Micah, I think it's about time we go score some ratings. You ready? I think we're going to have to reveal it all, Micah. I think we're just going to have to bear it for the audience and tell them exactly how and why we're putting this show together. Because, you know, Micah, I really think at the end of the day, most of the people listening are professional marketers. They're trying to figure out how to do it for themselves, for their companies, et cetera, and LinkedIn being a big part of that, right? So I think for our ninth episode, it would be nice for us to kind of talk a little bit about what we're doing behind the scenes and, more importantly, how it applies to the whole concept of content marketing and LinkedIn marketing, just marketing in general. So what do you think about that, Micah? Is that a good idea for the show?
I'm ready.
You
yes.
ready? Okay, get ready to take it off, baby.
I'm ready. I'm ready to bear all. I know.
Bear it all.
Ooh, good thing. Love podcasting.
Take off the visage, I would say. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring on to this show today John Naster after our break. And John, if you've been following Rainmaker FM, you'll know that John is the talent behind a number of shows, including the very popular Showrunner course that he does with Jared Morris. And we're going to bring John in a little bit after the break. But I did want to, again, as everyone knows, we do have a lot of information about LinkedIn marketing, don't we, Micah?
Yes, we do.
And that information.
Excellent information that we're updating.
Yeah. In fact, Micah has been updating it today, actually, right, Micah?
Yeah, I updated the promotions with an article from Jason Miller about LinkedIn success, and I really thought that our audience would love it. Our group members would love it.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing over on the LinkedIn group. So you may be asking yourself, if you're listening to this for the first time, what the heck is this LinkedIn group they're talking about? Well, it's our super secret private group that you only people who listen to the show know how to get to. And the way that you can get to it is very simple. Yeah, if you're in the continental United States, pick up that telephone, that mobile device right in front of you. Go to text messaging. Send a text message to 41411 with the keyword MyLink, all one word. Don't let it autocorrect. And if you're international, like many of our audience are, just send an email to missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And we will send you, whether it's through the phone or through email, that link to that exclusive group we have on LinkedIn, where we've got it chocked full of LinkedIn marketing content. So I think you should take the time to do it. And more importantly, our show today is going to tell you why we have been pushing the text messaging, why we are pushing this LinkedIn group. We're going to talk about some of the behind-the-scenes things that we are practicing and experimenting with, and also share those results with you. Micah, is this revealing enough?
I think it is, Sean. I think it is.
Well, we're going to bear all as soon as we get back from the break with our good friend, John Naster. Stay tuned, everybody.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
We are back from the break, everyone, and joining us is Micah. Who's joining us?
We have John Naster today, which I'm so excited about.
John Naster of Showrunner?
Showrunner, yep.
Oh, my God. John, are you there?
I am absolutely here. Oh, Thank you so much for having me.
Yay, John.
You know, it'd be a disservice if I tried to explain all the awesomeness that John is. So, John, I'm going to turn that over to you because you just have some fascinating stories. But tell our audience who the heck you are.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. I am a podcaster from up in Canada, currently living in Vancouver for the summer with my family. And I'm the host of Hack the Entrepreneur for the past year Brian Clark discovered me there and brought me over to the Rainmaker.fm network when it launched. And now I am the co-host of Showrunner with Jared Morris, and I'm also the co-creator of the Showrunner podcasting course, which is launching in 1 week from the date of this airing.
Wow, very impressive. So, you know, explain to our audience what a showrunner is, because it's a fairly unique concept, and I want them to understand it first before we kind of dive into it.
Sure. A showrunner is, I've actually now nailed it down to somebody who can answer affirmatively to three questions. One is, do you have a desire to connect with an audience? And so my guess is actually, as I'm going over these now, that it's probably going to be somebody who also wants to connect with people on LinkedIn. It's that same sort of mindset of content. The second question they have to ask or answer affirmatively would be, will the content you share educate, entertain, or inspire? And then the third is, can you commit to creating content consistently? And if you can answer yes to all three of those questions, then you are either a showrunner already, or you are set up with your mindset already to become a showrunner and to start building your own audience.
So as I told the audience before we got into the break, I wanted to reveal some things behind the scenes, why we're doing this podcast, what are some of the stats we're measuring, tracking, because at the end of the day, I've always felt that our audience is a group of marketers, probably most of which are content marketers to some extent. And so I want you to kind of align, why is podcasting in the content marketing space? I mean, I think some people may be like, well, I thought content marketing was just writing a whole bunch of blog posts.
It used to be, but right. Now we have this amazing technology where we can record good quality audio from almost anywhere and with our laptops and with a fairly inexpensive microphone. And then we can put that content out into the world. And even the beauty of it further is blogging is still an amazing platform that you should use, but there's a lot of people being really successful actually just turning their blogs into audio versions of a blog, mm-hmm. which is really interesting because there are a lot of people who could be in your audience that just don't read that much. Maybe that's just what it is. And we're spending more and more time on trains, on planes, in cars. And sometimes it's just hard to read when you can just listen to somebody in your ears and make that really close, intimate connection, because typically I'm right in your earbuds or right in the car with you. And that's an amazing connection to make with an audience.
I agree. And that's one of the reasons when we were putting Rainmaker FM network together, they came to me to run the missing link, if you will, the show focused on LinkedIn to find a different connection. Because quite frankly, I will tell you, it's hard to get a quality blog post written every single week. Okay.
Yeah.
But obviously I love talking, so it's pretty easy to do the show every week. But I think it's more important than that because, you know, it's funny, John, and I think when we go through this together, I do want to start sharing with my audience or our audience, I should say, a little bit more of the thinking behind our show. And I want you to put it into context for me. Okay. So I'm going to tell you some of our thinking when we were putting this together. I'd like you to either critique it or expand upon it or talk about how people can use it themselves. All right.
Excellent.
So let me go through for our audience. When Robert Bruce came to me and said, let's do this show called about LinkedIn. And we came up with the name, The Missing Link. One of the very first conversations we had, and it was actually a 2-hour conversation, was going to be about the tone and format of the show. Now, to me, LinkedIn is awesome. But the problem is everyone thinks of LinkedIn as a very professional, you know, wear a tie when you're using it type of network. And I said, no, it's not that. It's actually very cool. It's very hip and it can be very, very powerful. So we made the intention of the show to be very cutting edge. I mean, if you listen to any show on Rainmaker FM, which I know you do, John, my tone in this and Mike and I mean, the double entendres, the flirtiness of it, the almost off the cuff aspect of it is almost unprofessional in one sense, which was the intention of the show, right? As I didn't want to be the stuffy professional guy, right? So take that. How does that apply to our audience for what they're thinking about doing?
I think that you can take your audience new places, right? Especially, it's really sometimes hard to come across as not that stuffy LinkedIn guy on just a text format. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be why, because I mean, LinkedIn obviously is all textual based at this point, that it's hard to not come across as that. But with an audio show, I mean, yeah, your sense of humor comes through. You guys laughing, your banter. It really, if that was just a written out, like, blog post right. between your banter, it would be like you wouldn't be able to read it, obviously, right. but people can really get into it. And that was the first thing for me that I, now that you say it, it's hilarious because I've always thought of LinkedIn in that same way. Mm-hmm. But since I've started listening to your show, I've started using LinkedIn. I was like, wow, I had no idea.
Awesome.
It's like it's almost like a Facebook for business, but it just doesn't have cat pictures, basically. Right. Which I think I've actually heard you say it. I think I might have stole that from you. And that was such a brilliant way to explain it. And that's really hard to do. So in most other formats, to really get that intimate sort of relationship to your topic through right. in a way that, as I said with the question, was it has to either educate, entertain, and inspire. You guys both educate and entertain, and you're quite inspirational. But you really educate and you really entertain. That's really hard to do, I find, just on text. And that's really hard to, especially when there's a mindset about a topic, about LinkedIn, or about 1,000, about right. accounting, or about like being a lawyer, or you know what I mean? There's a lot of right. topics that really have an idea and a mindset around them that it's very stuffy and very boring. And really, it's just cool people doing these things still. It's just, it's hard to get that across without audio. That's why I think this is a perfect format for it.
And I think it's, you know, one of the things that was really, you know, important to me early on was to understand what that format was going to be, you know, what was going to make it different. And I think that's the key, right? Because there's, you know, it's obviously the barrier to entry to podcasting is nil, right? You got a computer, you can buy a cheap mic, you're in, basically. But the reality is that you have to think about that strategy. And for us, the strategy was going to be that we were not going to be the typical professional podcast because we didn't want to be. We needed to stand out from everyone else. And I think in your course, if I'm correct, you guys talk about in an audience, you want to be unique and different. And trust me, it's hard to do.
It is. It really is.
So the second.
Also, we are us. You know, Sean yeah. and, you know, Sean and I are.
This is not pretensions or an right, act, people.
Right. This is how we are.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but that's what you have to be a showrunner. So our whole course, everything we teach either for free via the podcast or within the course itself is the four elements of a remarkable podcast, which is really the four elements of a remarkable business or a remarkable blog or anything. And those are authenticity, which you guys are showing right now. And that's what you have to show to be a successful showrunner. Usefulness, sustainability, which you guys are on a calendar. You have to every mm-hmm. week come out with a new episode. It's just the way it is. And then four is profitability. And that can either be direct or indirect, which is probably also very similar to the authentic and useful work you would put onto LinkedIn, that it can be profitable at the end, but it's going to be direct or indirect. It's not that you're necessarily selling something directly. I don't sell anything from Hack the Entrepreneur. I've built up a really large audience, but I don't directly sell anything from it. But indirectly, it's led to a real full-fledged business around mm-hmm. it. And that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
But that authenticity has to. And if you guys had tried to just do a show and try and do professional, like you might not normally or authentically be acting, right. then it would come across. And you can listen to 1,000 podcasts a day that you can tell people aren't comfortable in their own skin yet. They're not comfortable with their own voices. They're not comfortable. They're just trying to copy something that already was successful, but it was successful under that person being authentic, not under me trying to copy that authenticity. And so I think that's why your show does really well, is because that authenticity shines through. It really, really does, right? It's like sitting down for coffee with you. That's what a podcast should be.
Yeah.
It still has to sound good. It still has to be useful. It still has to entertain. It still has to inspire in some way, but it has to be authentic. Otherwise, nobody wants to listen. I don't want to listen to a like a radio show kind of thing, because otherwise I'll just listen to the radio.
You know, and that goes to your last point about the profitability side. And that's the point that I, you know, we want to talk next about, because we did in designing this show, there were a couple of things that I wanted to test out. And I want to share with the audience, because obviously if they've been listening for a while, they know that we've been doing some things around text messaging in this LinkedIn group, which everybody should join anyway, by the way. So the first thing is the text messaging, John. And as you know, mobile is huge. And most, however, in content marketing space, people are just trying to capture email addresses, right? Because email is free for the most part. It's easy. It's fairly common and consistent. I didn't want to do that per se, because I felt that text messaging has unbelievable open rates. I know that it is extremely powerful because of the fact that people, when they get a text message, will read it. So we, from the very start of the show, used a service called TextMarks, TextMarks.com. It was not, I don't think it's the best service for what I want, obviously, because it doesn't support international, but it is something that was fairly inexpensive to try and test out. Now, this kind of blew me away, and I want to share this with the audience. What we have found, and I just pulled the stats from the past shows that we've done, the growth rate of that text messaging has been phenomenal. What I have found is almost 9% of our average listeners will subscribe to our text messaging service. Think about that. 9% of people listening are picking up their phone and texting that 41411 my link to us. Now, that blew me away. And you got to remember, this is only in the U.S. continental. This isn't the international, folks, as we found out. And as John found out up in Canada.
I tried texting that number.
The second thing that we did was I wanted to also put the call to action being to the LinkedIn group, because I did want to have, there were some curated things that Mike and I did want to share out there. I wanted to have an ongoing dialogue with people, right? Because the intent of the show is not to sell them a LinkedIn training course, if you will. It really is to experiment with some ideas to help people on their journey towards LinkedIn. It is so that we can all say, hey, what if we try this on LinkedIn versus that, and have the conduit and communication to do it. However, what I found again was that the response rate on people that are signing up for the group is extremely high in comparison to all the other metrics that I have. So I think that when you look at that 9% response rate, the fact that our group is growing at 31% per week, when our text messaging is growing at 25% per week, I mean, these two experiments we are running seem to be working. John, what do you think about that? What do you think about kind of the approach that we're doing? How does that apply to showrunners? You know, just kind of give me your thoughts in general about that process that we've been doing on the show.
My mind is blown by those numbers. That's amazing. And it is a very new thing. And obviously text messaging is massive for podcasters, because we're typically listening to it on a mobile device, mm-hmm. our podcast, right? So, and I can say, go to my website, get on my email list, which I do in every show, but it's a few more steps. It's not, I can just literally have, I already have my phone in my hand. I'm probably already mm-hmm. texting somebody. Now you say a number in my head, I can just text it to you. Mm-hmm. That's really impressive, because wow, we have to look into this more and start teaching this within the course, because that's really, really, but can I ask what are you sending people now as a text? Besides access to the group, what do they get?
So what happens is the text messaging, you have to confirm the subscription. So there's actually a double opt-in process to this. So that 9% is with that double opt-in process. So they opt in, and then we auto send them a link to the group, to LinkedIn, which kind of blows, because I'm going to tell you now, John, the LinkedIn mobile experience is, especially for groups, is not as strong as it should be. They're fixing that, by the way. But they are clicking over to that, and what I'm seeing is about 75% of people who subscribe to text messaging will come into that group, okay? So I am seeing a high conversion rate in there, and all they're getting from me is a link. Now, every week when we launch a new show, I do send them a text that basically is the title of the show, available now at iTunes, at, and then I use the shortened URL that you get out of iTunes. And I do that again because I want to drive traffic to that iTunes page to help increase the relevancy and popularity of that particular show that we have. So that has been the strategy that we have. And again, my response rates, or our response rates, I should say, have been pretty phenomenal. That 9% and then 75% of people who are getting the text message auto link are actually going in and signing up for the LinkedIn discussion group.
How many people are clicking the show episode link to iTunes?
Don't know that off the top of my head. That's a good number. I have that in analytics. Textmarks does have analytics on that. I would have to look that up. Dang it, John. You asked me a question to stump you. Damn it.
No, I would love for you to try, instead of an iTunes link, link to your rainmaker.fm show page.
That's a good idea.
For that episode, only because yesterday, actually, we recorded a showrunner episode, and Jared had told me that he was putting like both links into our emails when they go out, when the episode goes out, to our email list. And we don't do text, so we do it still email, old school style. So my first question was like, so what are the numbers? Who's clicking which link? You're putting iTunes and Rainmaker. He's like, damn it, John, you stumped me, just like you just said. But then he came back yesterday with the numbers, and we're getting, it was like 3% of the people click on the iTunes link, and everybody goes Rainmaker. Because we're pretty sure because people are probably subscribed via iTunes to your show if they want to be, or else they really want the show notes experience, of which at Rainmaker, we provide an awesome mobile experience for that. Yeah. Plus, they can listen off there or then go through to iTunes if they wanted, but that might be worth look at it. And then I would try testing a couple links of just Rainmaker. Because it's unbelievable how many more people want Rainmaker on their mobile device.
And I think that's a great point, John. And that's worth something, again, that this show is a lot about testing. I think as the listeners, if you're a marketer, realize that so much of what we do in marketing is testing ideas, right? I mean, this is officially our ninth show from the beginning. And, you know, we've been testing a lot of things. We've been testing format. We've been testing ideas. We've been testing concepts. And I tend to agree with you on the mobile link, just to put a nail on that. Here's the other thing. Most people are using an Android device worldwide. It's really kind of in the US and North America that iPhone tends to dominate. But most people, because of the price point of an iPhone, are on an Android device. So sending them over to iTunes may not necessarily be the best place for them, where if they could go to a mobile responsive web page like we have at rainmaker.fm, may be the better experience. But you're right. And that's, again, the whole key. And this is what I'm trying to get across to our audience, John, is that when we decided to make a podcast about LinkedIn, there was a lot of thinking that went behind this. And I will say this, that so far I've been very happy with the results. I'll share this with the audience too. When we did our very first episode, Micah, do you remember that comment that we got on the page at rainmaker.fm? Our very first comment was from some guy, and he says, I cannot believe that you would do such an unprofessional show about such a professional network. And he's like, really? He's like, you've lost a listener. And I'm sitting there going, yay, we offended somebody.
That was our intention.
And the second moment was when people actually started sending in text messaging that weren't employees of the company. I was like, yeah.
Wow.
So I think, you know, as marketers, we're testing. And I do think if you're listening to the show, you know, certainly as a professional marketer, podcasting's got to be in your wheelhouse. When you say, John, I mean, it's got to be there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
And I think also what would help is to really think through that course of how the series of events you want to put together. And John, you have been working with Jared on some things that would really help this. Could you share a little bit more about this showrunner training course? Because really that was very, very helpful to me because I was nervous as all get out. I mean, I was like sweating bullets, you know. Talk about that showrunner course you guys put together, because I do think if you're going to put this into your wheelhouse, you're going to need some help and guidance. So John, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. I think it goes back to what you said just a couple of minutes ago, where was when you were starting The Missing Link, a lot of thinking went into it. And so to us, a showrunner isn't just getting a microphone for $50 and then just sitting down and just, I'm going to start recording a podcast today and put it out. That's what 99% of the people do. 99.9% of podcasts don't make it past the seventh episode, and they just falter and fail because they don't get any traction. You have a successful show. I now have two successful shows, and Jared has multiple successful shows under his belt. And so both him and I went through the process of going through that thought process before you actually sit down to create your show, which for me with Hack the Entrepreneur was about 3 months of just devouring everything, every podcast in my market. Because I went after a massive market. I went after the entrepreneurship interview market. Like, I couldn't have really went after a more popular market, but I knew that if I could do it right and find my unique place in it, that it's a massive market. That's where I want it to be. So I love that. And so the course is really, the first three modules are just about before even starting to record, thinking about your audience, defining the audience, that one person that you're talking to in their headphones, and how to exactly hit them. And then the transformation that you're going to want to take them through to make it successful for you and for them. So it's basically 10 modules, right? So those first three are that, and then we get into the technical aspects of it, and then we get into launching from day one, and then where you're going to take it after that and turning it into a business. So it's 10 complete modules. They're all video-based, so screenshots, and then we've also turned those into just audio because obviously they're all podcasting fans, and most right. people actually download them and listen to them on the train, in their car. Right. They listen to the training courses, and then we also PDF off just like a transcript version of it, plus the slides that I use in the videos all get printed off to PDF. So you can actually just do like print out your course if you want as well.
Wow. And John, when does that course come available? Because I know it's closed right now. You guys launched it, then you closed it. When does it come available again?
Yeah, it's going to be, the first official launch is August 3rd to the 14th. So that's a Monday, August 3rd till the Friday the 14th. We're doing the full launch with Rainmaker FM and Copyblogger. We did two small pilot launches just to really get the course and fully develop it. We have a couple hundred people in there now, and we've really sort of scaled it out. We have some shows, I think almost 10 shows now, that have already launched within that pilot launch and are hitting the top of New and Noteworthy. They're like amazing success stories. Awesome. So it's been really, really great. So we do twice monthly webinars with everybody, answer all their questions. And then we have a private members only group where people can get their feedback.
I got it. It's an awesome course. And I'm going to tell everybody, I was scared to death to put this thing together. Weren't you scared, Micah? I was like freaked out. And it was really nice to have somebody like John helping along the way to make it a little easier. And the fact that it's available is also awesome. But John, that's not the only thing that's happening in August. I have heard through the grapevine that you hate the beautiful cold weather of Canada and feel that you need to go to the dreadful heat of Fort Worth, Texas on July 31st. Is that correct, John?
Yes. I'm so looking forward to it.
And as a Texan, I'm in Colorado right now because it's so dang hot in Texas. So why are you going to Fort Worth, Texas on July 31st, John?
Because it is the second official podcast movement, the only podcasting conference in existence, I believe. And there's going to be over, I believe, 1,000 people or 1,200 people, I heard this year, all gathering, people who are running podcasts already and people who want to be running podcasts. And both Jared and myself are going to be speaking at the conference.
Yeah, I would highly encourage anyone who's interested in podcasting, if you can bear the Texas heat, be in Fort Worth on July 31st, because this is absolutely phenomenal. The lady who created the show Serial for NPR is going to be on it. They've got just a roster of a leading talent, including our own Jared and John. So that's absolutely awesome.
Is the heat really that bad?
Yeah, it really is.
It is. Yeah,
just don't even think about going outside. Okay, you remember that movie Dune? Okay,
yes.
Think Dune. Oh, on a cloudy day. I'm just telling you, it is hot. However, it's hot for a reason, because it just makes your blood boil with passion for the great state of Texas. So. Spoken like a true Texan. Hey guys, I think we're coming close to the end of our little show. And I did want to thank John again for the advice, for the encouragement, for the fact that, you know, putting a podcast together is difficult. I wanted to share some of the success that we've had with our show. Now, let me, in conclusion, talk about some of the thinking that I have about LinkedIn and podcast. Because while obviously we're fans of podcasting, I'm going to talk about the little downside for just a minute or two. Mm. Yeah, I know. The number one thing is, it is almost a Herculean effort to try to put a podcast in a post on LinkedIn. Okay. Now, LinkedIn does allow you to put video on there. In fact, it's very easy. If you have a YouTube video or a Vimeo video, or if you have a SlideShare deck, it's easy to put it in there. The problem is, John, I'm sure you know this, is that the audio codecs and the videos and all these different technical jargons out there that YouTube actually solves very eloquently, it's not easy to just take a recording and upload it as a post. This has been a disappointment on my side, and I am going to figure out a solution for our audience, a way to put these together. I was trying to do SlideShare. It's not going to work. I'm thinking I'm going to have to go to YouTube, but take our shows and put them in a YouTube video that I can just copy and paste and put it into a post on LinkedIn. But until they get that fixed, it's still a hassle. That's number one. Number two is that while podcasting, I think, is absolutely powerful, it is tough when you're in audio-only format to show people step-by-step what to do. Mike and I did a show with that. Right. I want to do more of it. It takes a lot longer when you don't have that visual cue like you do in your course. It just takes a lot longer to walk people step-by-step through. And we're going to do some experiments to figure that out as well. And then finally, I do think that you have to have a strong call to action. And this is the only other thing that I'll just talk about in general, not having to do with LinkedIn. If you've listened to the show for a while, I almost beg you to join our group, right? I mean, I've actually calculated, it's like 2 minutes of the whole podcast. It's almost 10% of the whole show just begging you to get into our group. And that's the other thing too, is that you really will soon find that to get people to do a call to action, it's not a simple casual mention. We've tried that and the results have failed. You really actually have to put a really emphasis into it and not be afraid to. And I think if podcasting is going to be a part of your content marketing experience, then you're going to have to put strong calls to action. And once we figure out how to get these damn podcasts into LinkedIn, then those calls to actions are going to be really important as well. So that's kind of my parting thoughts on this. John, do you have anything else? Mike, do you have anything else before we close off another episode?
The only thing I would like to say is, I guess, showrunner.fm is the link. I forgot to even tell anybody that.
Speaking of call to action.
That's also where you can find the podcast itself. So you can find out if more about podcasting in general for completely for free. And we're on episode 17 next week. So you can check it out there, and then that will lead to the course when it's open.
Showrunner.fm. That's right?
Yes.
Okay. Micah, are you getting stuff posted in that group discussion for all of our loyal listeners?
As much as I can, Sean. Yes, I am. I have a yes.
Don't be afraid to post, Micah. Right, it's going to be okay.
Sean, you're like, stop being, what is it, paralysis by analysis syndrome. And that's an invitation to all of our listeners, by the way. Just do it.
Just do it. Well, we bared all, Micah. We revealed it. We're getting into the sweeps and ratings by taking it all off for our audience. And I can't, and hopefully they will come back. I was about to say.
Yeah, I think we still have our same rating. Right?
I hope so. Otherwise, this may be the last show. But
we love you all. We'll miss you. And we'll see you next week.
And we will see you on the next episode of The Missing Link. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.